Jesus' name, amen. We're turning your Bibles to the book of Acts, the book of Acts. How many of you love the Word of God? Let me see your hand. Well, my subject tonight is I choose victory. How many want to live a life of victory? Well, if you're going to live a life of victory, you will have to make much of the Word of God. I'm reading from chapter 1 of Acts, verse 4, and I want you to notice what Jesus, the head of the church, had to say. Acts 1 and 4. Being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days since. Now turn over to Acts chapter 3, verse 16. Just a few pages in your Bible there. It's on the screen also. Acts 3 and 16. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now turn over a few more pages to Acts chapter 6, Acts chapter 6, verse 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples, they multiplied. The word of God increased, the number of disciples, they multiplied. Now turn over to chapter 8, verse 4, Acts 8 and 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word of God. My subject, I choose victory. Say it like I would normally say, I choose to live a life of victory. How about you? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for victory in Jesus. We thank you that we are a part of the triumphant, victorious church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we've been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. And we're to be about the Father's business, and we're to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, to understand the authority of the name of Jesus, Lord, and to move in your word. So we bless you and praise you for manifestations of your glory. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're living in some dark moments, and we need a real move of God. We need a revival that will shake this nation. We're living in some of the darkest moments of human history, yet it could be some of the finest hours for the church. Our political world cannot solve the problems that we are going through in this nation. But the church can, if the church will rise up and pray. See, God is up to something, and God is on the move, and we need to move with God. And that's what this sermon is about. And I want to talk to you tonight about and give you three keys for a life of victory. Three things that will cause you to live a life of victory. Amen? These three things, they stand out in the book of Acts. These are three things that the early church used, and they were able to turn their world upside down with them. These three keys are the Holy Ghost, the name of Jesus, and the Word of God. These are three foundations for the church of every generation. For God said it's not by power, it's not by might, it's not man's way. God said it's my way, and my way is by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank God I'm just not preaching into the air. I am preaching the Word of God that's living, that's powerful, that it can bring changes. Hallelujah. It can change this nation. See, I'm sent by God to talk to people about their problems, about your situations, and about the things that you face in life. And if you're watching by live stream or Facebook Live tonight, I want to invite you to come out here to Westmoreland. Come out here where we can teach you, where we can shepherd you, where we can lead you into a life of victory through the principles of God's Word. We are a loving, growing church, bringing hurting families to a healing Jesus. And new people are coming all the time. But if these things that I'm preaching are put on the back burner, your life will end up in struggle and confusion. We are in one of the darkest hours of our nation's history. These are fresh statistics here. See, the teenage suicide rate is at an all-time high. We have an opioid epidemic in our nation. We have open borders and illegal immigration. Thousands are invading our nation daily. This has resulted in sex trafficking. illegal drugs, unnecessary deaths in this country because of the MS-13 gangs and other illegal aliens in our nation. Kids are killing each other in the schools. Do you think we need a revival? Politicians are now promoting socialism when capitalism is what made this nation great and every other nation that's great. Amen. Politicians in this nation are promoting socialism, and not only abortion, but they're killing little innocent babies if they tried to abort them and they lived. Do you remember Pharaoh in the Bible? Do you remember Herod in the days of Jesus? It sounds like the same demonic spirits that were going on in those days. Amen. Look at the disgrace and the lies that some of our political leaders brought to this nation in the public arena during the Brett Kavanaugh hearings. It's a shame. Morality and common sense should tell us that we need to rise up against these things as a nation. This is a shameful, disgraceful thing to me that our elected officials are not interested in our national security, but they're interested in their own private political position. Yet you and I, as the taxpayers, we are paying their salaries. And God has given the church a window of opportunity. And I'm praying that somebody somewhere will hear this message and that preachers will begin to rise up and to preach the truth. Preach the truth in love, but preach the truth. Hallelujah. We're in some dark hours. Think about it. While our president, Donald Trump, is in Vietnam negotiating for world peace right now, we have another three-room circus is going on in Washington, D.C. Michael Cohen, a convicted felon, a convicted liar, who is headed for prison, is appearing. He appeared today before our Congress to give a sworn testimony against our president. How disgraceful, how shameful that our national leaders would take our taxpayers' dollars and waste them. They've not found anything yet with all the Mueller investigation. That's got a clean bill of health. Yet there's a party that's trying to bring up something. Instead of coming together to make this nation great and make this nation what it ought to be, we have a diabolical energy that is opposed to us. And the church must arise. We need some leaders. I mean some leadership in some high places that'll start speaking out the truth in love. We are in critical times, and God has given this nation a window of opportunity. And we have a president that is leading us back to Judeo-Christian values and some morality that made this nation great. Give the Lord a clap offering of praise. Hallelujah. Now, think about when the church was born. That was some dark hours there. It looked like it from a natural standpoint, but it caused the church to pray. It caused the church to rise up. And that's what I'm praying will happen, that somebody somewhere will start preaching stuff like this, and we'll get back to biblical standards, back to the Bible, and God will send a revival to this nation, a spiritual tsunami that will awaken us. I'm going to give you three keys tonight for a life of victory. Number one, the Holy Ghost, right out of the Word of God. From the very beginning, Jesus emphasized the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, don't leave Jerusalem. You're not ready to leave until you have the power of the Holy Ghost. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. These are the words of Jesus. Yet they are seldom heard in the average church today. And guess what? They're not heard in some of our Pentecostal churches too. Yet all through the books of Acts, we find the emphasis on the Holy Ghost. Look at Acts 2 and 1 and following. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. It set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. What did they do when they were filled with the Holy Ghost? They went out and they began to preach Jesus. That's one thing I've noticed about people that are filled with the Holy Ghost. All they ever want to do is talk about Jesus. Hallelujah. See, the early church was full of the Holy Ghost. And they had a message that was filled with power. It transformed lives. It transformed their lives. It transformed the lives of those who heard them. And it turned their world upside down. Look at the people in this place who've been transformed, coming out of the drug culture, coming out of alcoholism, coming out of broken homes, coming out of brokenness, fragmented, broken people. Jesus working in their lives, transforming them. Hallelujah. In the vessels of honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. Hallelujah. That's all right. Go and praise the Lord if you want to. Hallelujah. See, all these people wanted to do was talk about Jesus. Amen. They took entire cities for Jesus. On the day of Pentecost, they staggered out of that little upper room, and they were drunk. Peter said, they drunk all right. They just not drunk the way you think they're drunk. He said, this is that which Joel, the prophet, has spoken of. They've been down the 228th Street on Joel, and they've been drinking that new wine. And they full of the Holy Ghost and the fire of God. Hallelujah. They were reeling. They were rocking. They were dancing. They were praising God. They were expounding the word of God. They were speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost was working in great power. And 3,000 souls were added to the kingdom on that first day there. The Holy Ghost was in charge in the book of Acts. The gifts of the Spirit, they were in operation. You see, there's one initial filling when you receive the Holy Ghost. But there are many, many, many refillings. I have a leak. I'll just be honest with you. I live in a world where sin is pressing in from every side, where there's a devil and demonic spirits that are trying to keep me from living a life of victory and trying to keep you from a life of victory. But if you'll take these three things I'm talking about tonight, you'll be able to overcome every adversity and every adversary in your life. Matter of fact, if you'll draw nigh to God and do what I'm talking about, the devil will flee from you in Jesus' name. Somebody go and praise God. Hallelujah. See, if you want a life of victory, you need to hear anointed preaching. You need the washing of the water of the word of God. You need the refreshings of the Holy Ghost. See, I need to be refreshed. I go back and listen to my preaching because I know it's truth. Some stuff I listen to, you know, I have to pick and choose on it. But I know that I've gone back to the Word of God with what I'm preaching. And I'm preaching right out of the book of Acts tonight. I'm preaching Paul's gospel. Hallelujah. I love the Apostle Paul. He was a man that had a face-to-face encounter with Jesus Christ. He was gloriously and wonderfully saved. He was changed forever by the power of God. He said, this one thing I do. He didn't have 10 things he was doing. He said, this one thing that I do, that I may know him, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. If least by any means I might be made conformable unto his death, that I may obtain to the resurrection of life. He was a man who sold out entirely to Jesus Christ. He said in one place, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. How do you stop a man like that? You can't stop a man like that. He said, you can kill me if you want to, but I'll just take the shortcut home to glory. But I'm not going anywhere till the master calls me home. Hallelujah. I've got a mandate on my life, and I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. From the moment he met Jesus, Paul was a God's man. He was hungry for God, and he wanted more of Jesus. Paul was a man filled with the Holy Ghost, and he knew that the church needed the power and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And throughout the books of Acts, we find him evangelizing. We find him teaching. We find him raising up churches. We find this man who they beat him 5 times with 40 stripes, save one, 39 stripes on his back. They beat his feet 3 times with rods. That'll break every bone in your foot. They stoned him to death at Lystra. He said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was unstoppable. And you're unstoppable until God says stop. Hallelujah. If you'll walk with the Master. In Acts chapter 19, I love this. Paul came to Ephesus. He found 12 good men. These were 12 good men that needed a message from God. They were not sinners. They were not unchurched. These were 12 good men that needed a message from God. Well, what was the message? Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Have you gone on into the depths of the power and the anointing of the Spirit of God? They said, we've not so much as heard about a Holy Ghost. And Paul said, well, how were you baptized? They said, well, we were baptized under John's baptism. Of course, John, he preached the baptism of repentance, saying, there's one mighty in the night is coming after me, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He, Jesus, shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Bible said that when they heard Paul's preaching, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Paul laid his hands upon them. They prophesied and they spake in tongues and prophesied in that order. See, the initial evidence is you speak in tongues. But some people that speak in tongues, they need another refilling. Because that's not the only evidence. That's just an initial evidence. There ought to be some signs and some wonders. There ought to be some love flowing out of you. There ought to be some evangelism flowing out of you to other people. Amen. So Paul, this man filled with the Holy Ghost, he gives dissertations. He writes to the church, telling them about the supernatural manifestations of the Holy Ghost, telling them about the fivefold ministry, telling them about the body ministry and the ministries that are placed in the body. Yet Paul said in, First Corinthians 12 and 1 up there, if you would. When I read this the first time, it just did something in my spirit that put me on a quest to know the gifts of God. Look at this. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. Look at that. I'll just leave it right there. That's all I want you to see. He said, concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant. Yet the church, for the most part, is ignorant when it comes to the spiritual gifts, because they want to deny the power of the Spirit. And Jesus sent the Holy Ghost to the church to give them power. So one of the three gifts for a life of victory for you is the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Have you received it? Most of us here, we have. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? I heard one man say, well, if you're not a believer, said it, the Holy Ghost is dunamis. He's dynamite. He's a whole lot more than that. He's stronger than nuclear energy. Said, but if you got the Holy Ghost before you were saved, said, you'd explode, you'd blow up. You couldn't handle all that power. Amen. But see, the gift of salvation is sent to the sinner. The baptism in the Holy Ghost is sent to the saint, to the church, to empower the church. So you need to be full of the Holy Ghost. That's one of the keys. Look, in Acts chapter 2, put Acts 20 and 28. See, I would be what's considered an elder or bishop in the early church. I want you to look at this. Acts 20, 28. Acts 20, 28. Here's what a preacher's supposed to do. Acts 20, 28. That's Acts 1 and 20. Acts 20, 28. I want you to see this. This is what your preacher is supposed to do. If you're watching by live stream, this is what your preacher is supposed to do too. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own precious blood. That is my assignment. That is Pastor Ricky Nelm's assignment, to feed you the word of God. The overseer, the Holy Ghost, has made us overseers here to feed this church and the pastors in other churches, to feed them the word of God. So that's what I'm doing. See, the Holy Ghost was in charge in the book of Acts. Back in the Old Testament, I remember the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon. They were getting ready to fight the Midianites and get in and ask him, said, are you for us or are you for them? The angel said, I am the captain of the Lord of hosts. What the angel was saying, in effect, is I didn't come to take sides. I came to take charge. And that's what the Holy Ghost wants to do in the church of all generations. Amen. He didn't come to take sides and to prove this one right and this one wrong. He didn't come to take sides. No, the Holy Ghost came to take charge in the church. And I don't want my way in the church. I want what God wants. I want a move of God, because the Holy Ghost is the energizing power in the church. The Holy Ghost is the power that takes the blood and applies it to your heart. He is the power that when we speak in the name of Jesus, that takes all of that stuff out of you and nails it to the cross. Hallelujah. He's the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth. And when you hear truth, the truth will make you free. Somebody go and praise God. Hallelujah. See, the Holy Ghost is the one who orchestrates signs and wonders. The Holy Ghost is the one who guides the affairs of the church. The Holy Ghost ought to run this church. And the Holy Ghost ought to run all the churches. And the Holy Ghost ought to orchestrate everything in your life and my life. Hallelujah. So the second key to victory, number two, the second thing we saw in the reading of the word was the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. This is the one thing that should be exalted in the church. It's not the name of our denomination. It's not the name of our religious affiliation, but it is the name of Jesus. It's all right to be a part of denomination. We do need leadership. We need organization. But we are not to bear the name of our organization or our denomination. I'm so glad that Jesus Christ got a hold of my heart before the International Pentecostal Holiness Church, or the Church of God, or the Presbyterian Church, or the Baptist Church, or Episcopalian Church, or the Catholic Church, or any other church. I'm glad I know Jesus. Hallelujah. And I'm affiliated with, go on, praise God, I'm affiliated with the International Pentecostal Holiness Church because their doctrines at the present, they line up with the Word of God. And I'm glad to be affiliated with them because everybody needs a covering. But we are to bear the name of Jesus. Paul was a great persecutor of the church over in Acts chapter 9. And Ananias, a little layman, was sent over there by the Holy Ghost to lay hands on him. And he said, Lord, don't you know he's the one that's killing all those Christians? See, God can reach out and touch people, no matter how great their sins may be. God can do that because of the power of the blood. God can do that because of the power of the name. God can do that because of the power of his word. God says he's going to be a chosen vessel to me, and he's going to bear my name, the name of Jesus. Jesus said, I'm going to show him what great things he will suffer for my name's sake. Did you know that you can get out into the religious world and you can talk about God? That's okay. You can even get out there and talk about Christ and the Christ life. That's okay. You can talk about the good Lord upstairs, and that's all right with people. But when you start to talk about the name of Jesus, you stir up a hornet's nest. Hallelujah. When you start talking about the name of Jesus, people will run from you. I got preachers that can't stay in my presence 5 minutes because all I want to do is talk about Jesus. I tell you. Now, I talk to you about baseball. I talk to you about football. I'll go and sit on your committees in the church. I could care less about my name being associated with those committees. I only do that as a service to the Lord Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I'm not looking to promote me. I'm looking to promote him. And I read in my Bible, he said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season, casting all your cares upon him. For He careth for you. God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. So I just found out a long time ago, all I need to do is humble myself, hallelujah, before the King of Kings. You know King David, he didn't have a problem with that. Michael, his wife, she saw him coming into Jerusalem, dancing, praising God, hallelujah, because the Ark of the Covenant that represented the presence of God, it was coming into the city. David stripped off his kingly robe, got down to a linen priestly ephod, began to dance and shout, woo, glory to God, praising God with all his heart. See, his wife, she didn't have the spirit of David. She had the spirit of Saul, her daddy. She said, why? You look like a fool out there dancing for all those maidens. He said, I didn't do it for you anyway. I did it for him. Hallelujah. He said, I will yet be more vile. If people don't like the way I praise God, hold on to your seat. I shall yet be more vile. Go on, praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, when you talk about the name of Jesus, people call you a fanatic. You one of those Jesus freaks? No. I'm a fan. I'm a fanatic. Let me tell you about Jesus. What a wonderful life. Let me tell you about Jesus and what he did for me. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. I said, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I just decided a long time ago that I would preach Jesus. Jesus is the message. I don't know about you. I'm just going to preach Jesus. To the lost, I'll preach Jesus as the way. To the lonely, I'll preach Jesus as a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. To the child, I'll preach Jesus as a father to the fatherless. To the sick, I'll preach Jesus as the healer. To the alcoholic and the drug addict, I'll preach Jesus as the deliverer. To the brokenhearted, I'll preach Jesus as the one who heals the broken heart and binds up their wound. To the dying man, I'll preach Jesus as the resurrection and the life. To the sinner, I'll preach Jesus as the Savior. To the church, I'll preach Jesus as Lord and Master. No matter where I am, no matter who I'm talking to, I can always find a way to preach Jesus. Somebody go and praise him. Hallelujah. Preach Jesus. Now, you didn't know you'd get this on a Wednesday night, did you? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus said, the works I do shall you do also. He said, I'm going to go away, and I'm going to send the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to give you a right to receive anything and everything that you ask in my name if you will have the faith to appropriate it. Hallelujah. Now, as you read the book of Acts, that's just one name that stands out. That's the name of Jesus. Peter preached Jesus, and the Jews asked, men and brethren, what shall we do? I mean, their hearts were pricked by the message of the risen, resurrected Lord of glory. I mean, they had just seen him hanging on a brutal cross, dying. They saw him when they put him in that tomb. They saw him. About 500 saw him at one time after the resurrection. I love that group that went in the little upper room. They were up there and hiding, afraid because of the Jews. And all of a sudden, Jesus walks through the wall. Woo! Glory to God. He walked through the wall there. Well, I can preach on that a little while. I remember a story R.W. Shambach used to tell. He would end his program by saying, You don't have any problems. He said, keep praying, keep believing. You don't have any problems. All you need is faith in Jesus. And where he got that story from was there was a man that was in the hospital. He was dying. And for you new people that haven't heard my little story, he was dying. And the priest came in dressed in black, smoking a cigar. And he read him his last rites. And the priest, dressed in black, walked back through the door. And when everybody had left the room, another priest came in. And this priest, he didn't come through the door. He walked through the wall. And he wasn't dressed in black. He was dressed in white. And he walked over to where this man was lying on the bed, says, "You don't have any problems." Said, "All you need is faith in Jesus." He said, "What you mean I don't have any problems?" Said, "I've lost my home. I've lost my health." He was a millionaire. Said, "I've lost all my wealth." Said, "The priest was just in here and he read me my last rites and walked through the door. And you're telling me I don't have any problem?" He said, "No, you don't have any problems." Said, "I am Jesus of Nazareth and I've come to heal you." And he reached out and touched him and he turned and walked back through the wall. Woo! Glory. All of a sudden, the man realized that he was healed. And he got out of the bed. He went in there, and he was shaving, put on his clothes. And the nurse came in, said, "Get up back in that bed. Don't you know that the priest was in here and read you your last rites?" He said, "That's all right, lady." Said, "When that priest dressed in black walked through the door," said, "another priest dressed in white walked through the wall, came over to my bed and touched me and said, 'You don't have any problems. All you need is faith in Jesus.' He healed me, lady, and I'm getting out of this place." Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you don't have any problems. R.W. would say it like this: keep shouting, keep rejoicing, keep looking up. You don't have any problems. All you need is faith in Jesus. I knew it would come back to me. Hallelujah. Go on, praise the Lord. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. They said, "Men and brethren, what should we do?" Peter said, look at Acts 2:38. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. And look at this. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." In other words, get saved and then get filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, they used the name of Jesus to heal a lame man at the Gate Beautiful. When that man was healed, the religious crowd, they got so mad that they commanded them not to preach or teach anymore in that name. See, the devil is afraid of the name of Jesus. He is afraid of that name because God has highly exalted that name. He's given Jesus a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. See, the devil fears that name. God gave him a name above all principality and power and might and dominion. See, the early church used the name of Jesus, and that same name, the name of Jesus, it belongs to the church today. The name of Jesus can be used to force the devil's hand. The name of Jesus can be used to drive the devil from the battlefield. Amen. The name of Jesus can be used to overcome every power of darkness. If I thought the devil was behind the door, I just kick it down. "Hey, are you back now? Have you ever had him appear at your bedside?" "I have. I had him come more than one time and try to appear to me. I told him, I said, I will not allow you to manifest yourself in my presence. I've gone to places and cast the devil out. And I told him, stop. I won't allow your manifestations here." So you've got to understand the authority to use that name. Put Mark 16:17 up, if you would. Mark 16:17. See, there are signs that are supposed to follow believers. Not just the preacher, not the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, and the fivefold ministry. Every believer. That's why I'm preaching this stuff I'm preaching right now. I want you empowered, because you're going to have some battles to face. And guess what? Pastor Nelson and Pastor Nelms won't be there to pray all you. and people in the church won't be there to pray for you every time. So I've got to equip you. That's my assignment. Hallelujah. See, the early church, look at that. These signs shall follow them that what? Who? I can't hear you. Oh, signs follow believers, those who believe in the name of Jesus. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. You mean like, they're full of the Holy Ghost. They got the Holy Ghost and they speak. When they tune in to heaven, as soon as they start praying, they're over there because they're full of the Holy Ghost and fire. Oh, you're talking about believers like that. I'm not talking about some deadhead saint sitting on a pew that doesn't want more of God. I'm talking about a church triumphant, victorious, arising in these last days with the power of the Spirit and the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We need to understand our weapons. Well, I got a whole series on weapons. I always liked a good fight. Before I got saved, I liked a good fight. When I was a little boy, I had cousins that were a whole lot bigger than me. About 3 years worth. When I was about 8 and 9. They were big. They were strong. And my mother and daddy said, what do you want for Christmas? I said, I want a combat boots. And when they would mess with me, I'd just kick them in the shin. Then I'd go to work on them. I had a plan. I tell you, if you had grown up in where I grew up and you had cousins like that, two of them took me one day and pulled me around a telephone pole. One had my arms and one had my legs. And they were stretching me and stretching me. Finally, I started crying. They were about to pull me apart. They started laughing at me. Finally, they let me down. They started walking down the railroad track. And they got a good distance from me. And I reached down. And I picked me up a big rock. And I sailed that thing. Caught one of them right there behind the head. And they had to get that, somebody take him to the doctor and get him stitched up. I'm not advocating that kind of stuff. I'm just telling you. When you get in a certain environment, you better know how to fight. Like David, yeah. He took a rock and a rag and went out and killed his giant. My parents finally figured out when they told the story on me why I was getting those combat boots. I'll never forget, one of my cousins was chasing me one day. We were out on a big island, and he was chasing me. And I ran. I could run. I was a runner. They couldn't catch me. If I ever got away, I could run. And I got to the other side of that log, and he's coming across, and there's water on both sides. And I'm just looking at it, and I saw a limb lying there. I'm just watching until he's coming hard as he can. And when he got that, boom, I knocked him in the water. He said, I'll kill you. I'll kill you. If I ever get my hands on you, I'll kill you. He couldn't catch me. I ran and I ran and I ran. I came out, didn't even know where I was. God's so good to me. I stepped out into a man's yard, a black gentleman. I said, do you know which way Henderson is? He said, it's over there, son. I said, well, I come out on the wrong side of the woods. He said, well, I'm getting ready to go to church. If you'd like a ride, I'll take a ride. I tell you, God's grace and God's hand been on me all my life. Hallelujah. God's a good God. But see, you got to know your weapons. You got to know how to fight, is what I'm saying. And we are fighting against an enemy called the devil and the kingdom of darkness. So we got the Holy Ghost. We got the name of Jesus. And the last key for a life of victory is the Word of God. Hallelujah. The Word of God was important to that early church throughout the book of Acts. The Bible says they were scattered abroad. And everywhere they went, they preached the Word. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. And I'm more than a conqueror. Through Jesus. Amen. See, the Bible says everywhere they went, they preached. They weren't all preachers. They weren't all apostles. Many of them were just everyday believers. But they did something with the Word of God. Everywhere they went, they preached it. The Bible says, and they went forth preaching the word of God, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. See, Jesus is not going to confirm your denomination's ideas. Jesus is not going to confirm your ideas or my ideas. He's not going to confirm my theology. He watches over his word to perform it. And when the word is preached, signs and wonders will follow the word. Signs and wonders don't follow me. Signs and wonders don't follow you. When you preach the word, the signs and wonders, they follow the word. Hallelujah. We don't need to come to church to hear a book report. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You don't need to come to church to hear a discourse on psychology. You don't need to come to church to hear something about self-help, self-actualization, self-improvement, or just positive thinking. You need a positive attitude, and I need a positive attitude. We ought to think, put Philippians 4 and 8 up there. We ought to think on certain things. Finally, my brethren, look at this, Philippians 4 and 8. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So we're to have a positive attitude, knowing that God watches over his word to perform it. And we are who God said we are. You might not have gotten there yet, but you're on your way. Hallelujah. And we need to hear about the blood. We need to hear about true repentance. We need to hear about the baptism in the Holy Ghost and holiness and sanctification. We need to hear about divine healing. We need the word of God, because whatever I preach, that's what God is going to confirm. Wherever you go and give the word, that's what God is going to confirm. Hallelujah. Look at this, Acts 6 and 7. I'm going to close. The word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly. You see that? The word of God increased, the number of disciples multiplied greatly. What does that tell me? Those of you who are suffering, who are bound by chains of the devil, those who are sick, those who are dying, they are not interested in playing church. They want to come to church to hear the word of God. Hallelujah. Can I get a witness? And to build great foundations in your life, you need the Holy Ghost, you need the name of Jesus, and you need the word of God. Now look at Acts 12:24. But the word of God grew and multiplied. So we saw in chapter 6, verse 7, it increased and multiplied, but now the word is growing and multiplying. And you need to let the word of God get inside of you until it begins to grow inside of you. See, a garden needs seed to grow that garden. And you need the seed of the word of God to grow the garden of God in your heart. We're his workmanship. Hallelujah. Acts 19, look at this. Acts 19 and 20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Oh, I like that. If you will let the word of God grow in your heart, it will prevail. And it will bring you forth into victory. Watch this progression. Acts 6 and 7, the word of God increased. Acts 12:24, the word of God multiplied. Acts 19:20, the word prevailed. And if you will make much of the word of God will prevail. And your life will become a life of victory. Even in a world that's turned upside down, and in a nation that needs a great revival, you can have a personal revival if you will get full of the Holy Ghost, use the name of Jesus, and make much of the Word of God. And I covenant with you, and I promise you that if you will come to this church, if you will come every time you can, as your pastor, I will feed you the Word of God. I will feed the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made me the overseer. Let us stand.
There is power.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. There is power.
Power.
In the name.
Power of the name. The power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Word. Glory. Let's come to the altar.
Power.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
There is power.
Father,
break every chain,
the devil has tried to take this eyesight.
Chain,
I command
to break
vision
every
to come
chain,
back into that eye in Jesus' name.
Chain.